Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 24, Verse 21. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your valuable time and association this morning. Before I hand over the call to you, I would request Raj Prabhu to give a brief introduction. Raj Prabhu, over to you, Prabhu. Welcome to the call and thank you so much for all the services that you do for Bhakti.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanva Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanva Pranam to you too. Here is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and is a brahmachari with his con Chopati area. Prabhuji has done metallurgical engineering and Prabhuji joined Pennsylvania State University and graduated with a PhD in material science in 2007. While at Pennsylvania State University, Prabhu took to Krishna consciousness where he was mentored by His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhuji. After he moved back to India, he chose to become a full-time monk at Radha Gopinath Mandir. In May 2010, after his brahmachari training, Prabhu moved to Govardhan Echo Village and served full-time till December 2021. Prabhu is currently in Chennai assisting his aged parents. He is extremely erudite scholar of Vaishnava scriptures and travels far and wide giving spiritual discourses. This is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. And as always, your PPT is very informative, Prabhuji. Last time I said beautiful, so you said it is not beautiful or what you said. But now I'm saying, Prabhuji, it's very, very informative. The way you collect information from every places and you put it together and make us understand that this is what all acharyas are saying. So beautiful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for that information. Hare Krishna. Please take over, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much. We will start. Namo Padaya Krishna Padaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamite Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shrimati Paschatya Desha Tarini జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివ సాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే కృష్ణ. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ గివింగ్ మీ దిస్ ఆపర్చునిటీ టు షేర్ సమ్ కృష్ణ కథ విత్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. ఇట్స్ అ గ్రేట్ ఫార్చ్యూన్. సో టుడే వి విల్ కంటిన్యూ అవర్ డిస్కషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద 5th Canto 24th Chapter. So today we will discuss the 21st verse where the cosmological information about the nether regions, the lower seven planets, is described. And in that, fortunately, there is a description about Sutal Loka and Bali Maharaj. So, I mean, of course, everything is fortunate in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll read the verse, translation and purport and see what we can learn today. 21st verse. We'll read the verse. Tad bhaktanam atmavatam sarvesham atmani atmada atmatyaiva. So he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul, sells himself to his devotees such as Narada Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Great self-realized mystic yogis such as the four Kumaras also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the super soul within themselves. But it's a one-line purport. The Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as the lover of the Lord. So that's one line purport about why the Lord became the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. Well, the last many sessions that I have been discussing, I have been discussing primarily philosophical aspects. I have been discussing, you know, why the living entity, how he becomes a devotee, how he receives the seed of devotion, and then about our own practice of devotional service. So today, just for a change, I decided we will just discuss pure katha today, which is quite uncharacteristic of my you know, classes generally. So and the last few sessions also we had it quite interactive, but today we'll keep it purely non-interactive, which is also quite uncharacteristic of the way I do. So this is one episode of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very, very, you know, I really love this episode of Srimad Bhagavatam, the episode of Bali Maharaj. So today I thought I'll speak on how Vamanadev became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper. Okay. So I'm going to do practically an overview of this whole episode. I mean, almost whole. I will attempt, of course, nothing is in my hands, but I will attempt to do this today and how we can go. So I will directly, without taking much time with the introduction and all that, I'll directly start. I'm not going to start right from the beginning, but till now, Vamanadev has come and he has asked for 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj actually says that, you know, ask for more, you know, I could give you anything. And Vamanadev speaks about the importance of satisfaction. And then finally, Bali Maharaj agrees. So that's where we are going to start today's discussion. So just hold on for a second. So, you know, I have lot of slides, so I will have to again. Okay. Yeah, so I will not read the verse, only some verses I will read, otherwise I'll just read the translation. So Shukadev Goswami continues. So when the Lord has spoken to Bali Maharaj that just give me 3 paces of land, Bali Maharaj smiled and said, all right, take whatever you like. Vanchata, vanchataha pratigrihyatam. Whatever you desire, you can please take. And vamanaya mahim datum jagraha jalabhajan. And in order to confirm his promise, he took up his water pot and, you know, just to confirm. Okay, just one second.
I'm unable to mute, Prabhuji.
What, Mataji?
Nothing, Prabhuji. I think you took care of it. Hare Krishna.
Okay, I have mute. Don't worry. Yeah, I'll take care. Don't worry. Okay. Just hold on. Okay, let's start. So he took up his water pot to confirm. So, Janan Vishnoho Chikirshitam Ushana Vidam Varaha Asureshwaram Shishyam Praha Vishnavekshmam Pradasyantam. So Vishnoho Chikirshitam Janan, understanding the exact plan of the Supreme Lord, Ushana Shukracharya Vidam Varaha, who is addressed here as the best of the knowers, Asureshwaram Shishyam Praha, he spoke to his the best of the Asuras, the leader of the Asuras, Bali Maharaj, who was his disciple, Vishnave Kshamam Pradasyantam, who was just about to give the land to, you know, to Vamanadev. So Shukracharya is addressed here as Vidam Varaha, the best of the knowers, because he is going to introduce Vamanadev to Bali Maharaj. So Shukracharya said, O Vairochane, O son of Virochan, Yesha Sakshat Bhagavan Vishnu Dabyaya. Do you know who this person is? This is not just a brahmachari. This is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kashyapad Aditehe Jato Devanam Karya Sadaka. And do you know he has appeared as the son of Aditi and Kashyapa, who are the fathers of all the demigods? And Devanam Karya Sadaka, he has come to fulfill the desires of the devatas. So he says, Namanye Yad Anartam Pratishrutam Tvaya Etas. Namanye, in my opinion, I don't consider Yad Anartam Pratishrutam, this dangerous promise that you have given to this personality. Ajanata, in ignorance, done this. You didn't know that he is our enemy and you have done this. Sadhu, namanye sadhu. I don't think this is proper. Mahan anayaha upagato daityanam. This is going to bring great misfortune to the demons. So just think about it. Don't do it. He is not even asking, just think about it. He is giving an order. Don't do it. So you know who he is? Yesha Harihi. He is Lord Hari, Maya Manavakaha. He has just dressed himself like a brahmachari. Achidya Sthanam, Aishwaryam, Shriyam, Tejaha, Yeshaha, Shrutam, Shakrayadasiti. He will take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education and deliver it to Indra. So here, Shukracharya is addressing him as Hari. Hari means one who takes away everything. So he is indirectly, Mother Saraswati is indicating that very soon he will steal your heart also. He will steal your mind. Of course, Shukracharya is not meaning this, but this is the internal meaning. Okay. But Bali Maharaj might say that, but I have promised only 3 steps of land to him. I mean, why are you getting so, upset? He has asked me for just 3 steps of land and he is just a dwarf. Well, what's the problem? Let him take these 3 steps. So, Shukracharya is telling, Vishvakayaha, the Lord, he is the Supreme Lord. He can to cover this whole universe. Iman Lokan Kramishyati, and he will step over all the 3 worlds. Trivikramaihi, by 3 steps, he can cover the 3 worlds. O Muda, you fool. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva Katam Vartishyase. If you give everything to Vishnu, how are you going to survive yourself? So don't give it. So Bali Maharaj might say, well, look, I will give everything, he will take everything. At least my promise will be fulfilled. I will not go down as a king who failed to fulfill the promise given to a brahmana, which is very bad actually. So in response, Shukracharya says that the Lord will occupy the earth with 1 step. Gam kramataha pada ekena dvitiyena divam. 2nd step, he will cover the higher planetary system, swarga. Kam cha mahata kayena. So this is, this universe is like a cylinder. Okay. A cylinder has radius or diameter and height, right? So he will cover the height with his 2 steps, okay? And the diameter with his hands, okay? In this way, the whole cylinder of this material universe will be covered by him. Dvitiyena. Pada ekena gam kramatah dvitiyena divam. With the first step, he will occupy the earth. With the second step, he will occupy the swarga. Kamcha mahatakayan, and while stretching out hands, he will occupy, the rest of the universe. Tartiyasya kutopatihi. Where will he put? So Shukracharya does. So don't think that at least even if the Lord takes everything, at least you will you can have the satisfaction of fulfilling your promise. Okay, you will be left she will take everything and your promise will also not be fulfilled. Okay. Someone is telling that my voice is breaking. So what I'll do is I will switch off my video for now and then continue. Okay. So that's what he says. That your promise will also not be fulfilled, and then he will take everything also. So what is the use? And what will happen if your promise is not fulfilled? Bhavan hi pratishrutam apradatuhu manye yaha pratishrutasya pratipadayitum anishah nishtante narake. Because you will be unable to fulfill your promise given to a brahmana, you have to go to hell and suffer. Then Bali Maharaj says, well, look, I may not be able to fully fulfill my promise. I may not be able to give 3 steps. At least 2 steps I can give. At least part of my promise will be fulfilled. So rather than refusing to fulfill my promise, at least I can fulfill part of my promise. So in response to this, he says, na prashamsanti tad dhanam. Charity is not glorified. Yena vrittir vipadyate, by which one's livelihood itself is endangered. So you can give in charity, but not at the cost of your own family, your own livelihood. Okay. That kind of charity is not glorified. Don't try to be over smart. That's what here he's suggesting. Dhanam, yajnaha, tapaha, karma, loke, vrittimato yataha. Don't you know that the shastras say charity or sacrifice or concentration of mind, fruitive acts, everything is supposed to be performed only according to one's capacity, not beyond that. Right? Then he says that panchada vibhajan vittam dharmaya yashase artaya kamaya svajanaya cha iha amutra cha mondate. So intelligent person will give charity according to the scriptural rules, which say that a person should divide his wealth into 5 parts. One should be used for religion, second for reputation, third for material objects, fourth for enjoyment, and fourth for maintenance of his family members. Such a person can be happy in this material world and in the next. Okay. So therefore, you don't have to give in charity. This is what the shastras say. Of course, then in that case, charity will come for elevating him to the higher planet, but not at the cost of the other things. How will you will not have anything left for the religion, for your own reputation, for the material objects, for the enjoyment, and for maintenance of your family members. You can't neglect all of that and give in charity. Right? So then Bali Maharaj asks, look, I have already told him that I have something to give. I told I have promised him. Now if I say that I have nothing, then it will be a lie. And how can I avoid the sin of lying? So Shukracharya says, look, according to the Vedic scriptures, what is not preceded by Om is untrue. So when you are giving in charity, if you don't chant Om and give, that is not considered to be a promise. Did you chant Om? You didn't chant. So in the strictest sense, it is not untrue. And moreover, Shukracharya says, maintaining your body is more important than maintaining the truth. Ultimately, if by speaking truth you are not even able to maintain your own body, what is the use of maintaining the truth? So therefore, don't do it. And if you don't speak the small untruth, then your body will die. And what is the point of speaking the truth and losing all scope for enjoyment? You will speak the truth, but you will lose all scope for enjoyment. What is the use of that? And then he says, anyway, look, the shastras criticize, or common men criticize, only a habitual liar. Only such people become infamous. You are not a habitual liar. You will not become infamous. Don't worry. And moreover, Bali Maharaj, you should know that the Shastras say, when you are trying to flatter a woman while in joking or in order to get married, in earning one's livelihood, in dangerous circumstances, in protecting cow and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. You are in a dangerous position, circumstance. Practically, not just you, your life and the safety of your whole clan is under threat. So at this stage, you should speak a lie. Nothing wrong in that. Right? So then, Bali Maharaj, acting thus, advised the Shukracharya, he remained silent for a moment. And then he spoke. So our Acharya say, why was Bali Maharaj silent for a moment? He was thinking and he was trying to apply some discrimination. He thought that if his guru advised something against the desire of the Lord, then there would be no fault in disobeying his instructions. So Bali Maharaj was not very eager to disobey the instructions of his guru, but he was thinking in this particular case, because the guru is pushing me to act against the will of the Supreme Lord, I think here I may have to disobey my guru. So thinking in this way, so he does not directly say, okay, I'm going to disobey you here. But he is trying to be as much respectful as possible and trying to communicate it in a perfectly respectful way. So he says that Bhagavata proktam dharmaha yaha na badeta karhichit artam kamam yashovrittim satyam ayam grihamedinam. What you say is right. You said that dharma that we follow should not hinder one's artha, kama, fame and vritti, means livelihood. What you say is perfect, that that I should not perform a which will actually challenge my basic economic situation, basic sense gratification, basic fame, and what to speak of that, even the basic means of livelihood. You are right. So I will definitely, by disobeying the guru, I accept that I will obstruct dharma, but I will obstruct my bhakti if I disobey the Supreme Lord. This is his suggestion. He is not directly telling this. Bali Maharaj will never speak about bhakti at all. He will not explicitly show his bhakti because he is in the association of Shukracharya and the other demons. They will not be very happy to hear that. So, because naturally, demons means Tanaham Dushatak Kruran Samsareshu Naradaman Shibham Yajashrama Shubhan Asuri Shvevayonishu Asurim Yoni Mapanna Muda Janmani Janmani Mama Prapyeva Kaunteya Tatoyanti Adamam Gatim. So it is mentioned that Tanaham Dushatak Kruran. So Krishna says that whoever hates me, criticizes me, I cast them eternally into demoniac species. So practically, the Asura Yoni is for the atheists. So the atheists, they enjoy in Asura Yoni. So therefore, in the presence of atheistic people, Bali Maharaj does not feel very comfortable expressing his devotion to Bali. So all the while, he will be speaking on the platform of Dharma only, even though internally he is doing everything because of his devotion to Krishna. That is what this verse says, right? This verse that we have been discussing today, 5th canto, 24th chapter, 21st verse. So he says, Katam aham prahradihi kitavo yata pratyachakshe vittalobena pratishrutya dadamiti. How can I, who is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, just like a cheater withdraw my promise vittalobena, because of my greed for money, pratishrutya dadamiti, when I have already promised that I will give. Katam aham kitavo yata dvijam, especially how could I do it to a Brahmana? So he's telling that I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj was very famous as a very dharmic king according to Shukracharya. But internally, Bali Maharaj is thinking, I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, the greatest devotee of the Lord. I should show some devotion. The Supreme Lord has come here. He says, I am the grandson of Prahlad. My nature is to be favorable to the Lord. This is the hidden indication. He is not directly telling this. Even though he is telling that, oh, Prahlad always followed Dharma, so I should also follow Dharma like that. But actually, Prahlad always followed Bhakti. So Prahlad has had already planted the seed of Bhakti in his heart by his mercy. So Prahlad, Bali Maharaj was a Kripa Siddha. And he received that Kripa Siddhi through the intervention of Prahlad Maharaj. So it is mentioned, Kripa Siddha Yajnapatni Vairochani Shukadayaha. The wives of the Brahmanas in Vraja, Bali Maharaj and Shukadev achieved perfection by mercy. They were all they all received a bhava. So at least Bali Maharaj received the seed of bhava from Prahlad Maharaj. Now he would achieve perfection by attaining prema by the mercy of Vamanadev. So that will become prema in the So Bali Maharaj directly bhava matured into prema. That is what is described here. And then he is going to speak something which is purely on the platform of dharma, just to pacify Shukracharya. He said, don't you know, my dear Gurudev, that the earth said that nahi asatyat paro anu. There is no greater sinful activity than untruthfulness. And so therefore, I think I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. So the earth says, Sarvam sodu malam rite alikaparam naram. Alikaparam means one who is dedicated to lying. I cannot bear the weight of such a liar. So then Bali Maharaj says, Naham bibhemi nirayat, nadhanyat, asukarnavat, nastana chavanam nutyor, yata vipra pralambana. I do not fear hell. I do not fear poverty. I do not fear an ocean of distress. I do not even fear fall from my position or even death itself. As much as I fear cheating a Brahmana, I don't want to cheat a Brahmana. You are a Brahmana. I don't want to cheat you either, my dear Gurudev. So what is the use of wealth one leaves behind on dying? Should it not be used to satisfy a Brahmana? What is the use of that wealth? So he says that Bali Maharaj says, if by your order a Brahmana is not satisfied by charity, what is the result of that wealth which one gives upon dying anyway? If I don't give this to this Brahmana and earn some piety, fame, etc., I'm not going to take this wealth with me. Therefore, isn't it appropriate that I should give this wealth for his pleasure and earn some piety and fame? So now he knows that he is Vishnu. Why is he speaking as if he is Brahmana, Brahmana, Brahmana and not quoting Vishnu? He says, though he knows Vishnu is his Lord, he does not give respect, obeisances and prayers to the Lord by his increased bhakti, in order to not give sorrow to Shukracharya and the demons. Because they were all Tanaham Dvishata Kruran. They were all Dveshis. So he didn't want to explicitly displace devotion. So therefore he addresses the Lord as a Brahmana in order to hide his bhava for the Lord. So he's arguing everything based on, oh, he is a Brahmana, I have to give. That is Dharma, that is Dharma, that is Dharma. He's not talking about bhakti, because that cannot be understood by these people. Then he says, Dadichi, Shibi and many other great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of people in general. So for people in general, Dadichi, Shibi and others sacrifice their lives. So, and I am not sacrificing my life. I am he asked me for just some insignificant land. And he says that Time has destroyed all enjoyment of demoniac kings who did not turn from battle and who enjoyed the earth. But time has not destroyed whatever reputation they achieved. You said, I will lose my reputation by giving this wealth. I don't agree with this point. People, Kshatriyas who were valorous on the battlefield, they lost their lives and wealth, but they gained fame. Similarly, if I lose my wealth by giving in charity, I may lose my wealth, but I will not say that I will become infamous by giving in charity. In fact, I'll become infamous by refusing to give in charity. So he says that Shukracharya may say, without regard for future reputation, one should not give away one's temporary assets. You know, this will be helpful for your future reputation. Don't give it up. He says, well, wait, I do not subscribe to this philosophy. Time has taken the present and afterlife enjoyment of kings who returned from battle, who enjoyed the earth. Time destroyed it all. Time destroyed their life. Time destroyed their wealth. But time did not destroy the fame they achieved. Therefore, one should attain fame and nothing else. But was Bali Maharaj after fame? Did it even bother him? So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, however, even this statement is only for pleasing Shukracharya and other demons. Bali did not have regard for fame since he was a pure devotee. So, Kshantir Avyatta Kalatvam Viraktir Mana Shunyata Asha Bandha Samutkanta Namagane Sadaruchi Asaktistad Gunakyane Preetistad Vasatistale. These are the symptoms of a person at the stage of bhava. Here was Bali Maharaj, who was at the stage of prema. Mana shunyata, absolute humility. So, therefore, he had no desire for fame. But he knew when to speak the language of Shukracharya and when to speak the language of a devotee. So, with Shukracharya, he spoke a language which Shukracharya could understand. Fame is something he will understand. Wealth is something he will understand. But bhakti is not something. So, then he says that actually the glory of a merciful giver is to become poor by fulfilling the desire of a requester. The real glory is if he gives in charity and he himself becomes poor, such a person is considered to be a great giver, a great charitable person. What to speak of fulfilling the desires of a person like you? My dear Shukracharya, he's a Brahmana like you. He also possesses spiritual knowledge like you. Therefore, I will give whatever the Brahmachari desires. So, he says that, and in fact, even if you may say that this is Vishnu, but isn't that the personality whom you try to satisfy by performing your yajnas, my dear Brahmana? Shukracharya, you perform sacrifices for the fulfillment of yajna. Isn't that that personality, even if I consider him to be Vishnu? So, let Vishnu be a giver of benedictions or let him be an enemy, but I will give him the land that he desired because that is my dharma. Okay. And then he says, look, he may irreligiously arrest me, even though I am sinless, but still I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy, because he has assumed the form of a Brahmana. Because he has come in the form of a Brahmana and begged from me, it is my dharma to give. But Bali does not care for dharma. This is just for pacifying Shukracharya. Internally, a different dialogue is going on with Bali Maharaj, between Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva. The external dialogue is nothing that Bali Maharaj cares about. He wants to do this purely for pleasing Vamanadeva and for nothing else. But he wants to do it as much as possible while following the etiquette, while not breaching the etiquette of disobeying, of publicly disobeying the orders of his spiritual master. He is doing it. He has to do it. But he wants to do it as gracefully as possible. Okay, like that. So he says, that since he is Vishnu of imperishable fame, he will not give up that fame. Killing me in battle, he will take that land. I can never kill him. Because here he says that the Lord will not give up his fame. If I say, okay, I will not give my land to you. Okay. So then, unable to tolerate a broken promise, then he will request me for a fight. Come, let us fight. And because I am a Kshatriya, I cannot refuse fight. And if I fight with him, he will kill me in battle and take the land anyway. So if I refuse, as you say, if I refuse, he is Vishnu. He will not tolerate a refuse to promise. So he will ask me for a battle. If I fight with him, he will kill me and take the land. Better I give the land and save my life. This is what is the argument. This is the external argument of Bali Maharaj. Even though Bali Maharaj does not care a damn about dying or living, when he has a golden opportunity to please the Lord of his life. Right? But Shukracharya may say, hey, look, wait, in a battle, anyone can win. But he may be defeated by you since you are a great warrior, Bali Maharaj. Just come on. Lie down in a battle because Vishnu can never be killed. So why are you, what are you suggesting to me? So therefore, so thereafter, Shukracharya, Daiva Prahitaha, influenced by previous offense to the Lord, Shashapa Manasvinam Shishyam, he cursed his generous disciple, Satyasandam, who was fixed in fulfilling his promise, Ashraditam, who was not showing faith in his guru, Anadeshakaram, and was willing to disobey the orders of his guru, Shukracharya decided to curse. So, why was Shukracharya, despite being a Brahmana, acting this way? Because he was influenced by previous offense, which was unfavorable for developing the bliss of prema to the Lord. So he could not, he was influenced by his previous offense. That's why he was acting in this way. So he said, Agnya, oh you foolish person. Panditamani, you are a fool, but you think you are very learned. Like Krishna is addressing Arjuna. Ashochan, anmashochastvam, pragyavadamscha bhashase. Gatasun, agatasunscha, namashochanti pandita. Similarly, he says, you are a fool, but you think you are very learned, Bali. Dudam stabdosi, you are so stubborn. You are a fool. A fool is okay. Being foolish is fine. But a fool who thinks that he is very intelligent is a problem. And if that fool who thinks, who is intelligent, he is so stubborn and asmadukrekshaya, and he is willing to the extent that he is willing to disobey the orders of a bona fide guru, your mat shasana atigaha, because you are ready to disobey my order, achiratvam brashyase shriha, very soon you will lose all your opulence. This is my curse. This is the curse that Shukracharya gives. But curse, not only does curse on a pure devotee fructify, especially curse of a non-devotee on a pure devotee shall never fructify. But not only that, when very exalted devotees are cursed, then the words of the cursing person take on a different meaning, because Saraswati cannot tolerate such words being spoken against the devotees of her Lord. So she will give alternate meaning. So the other meaning is as follows. Mat shasana atiga, because of surpassing my order and going to Vishnu, achiratvam brashyate shriyam, he says. Achiratvam brashyase shriyah. You will very soon be bereft of all your opulence. This is one understanding. So another meaning is, you will not lose your wealth for a long time, for a short time. Achirat, not for a very long time. For a very short while, you may have to lose your wealth, but very soon you will attain the eternal wealth given by Vishnu. This is the inner meaning. Like that. But even after being cursed in this way by his guru, Bali Maharaj was not swayed in his determination. So he worshipped Vamana, offered water, and then gave him the land. He gave him the land. At that time, something which had never ever happened before happened. Bali Maharaj's wife Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of a golden pot of water for washing the Lord's feet. Now one may wonder, why is it so great? Bali Maharaj's wife was extremely shy, unexposed even to the sun, but was unable to conceal her agitation because of joy. Vindhyavali was also a great devotee. How could it be otherwise? Because she had association of a Prema Bhakta like Bali Maharaj. And she loved a great devotee of the Lord. What could be a greater recipe for oneself becoming a devotee? Because very quick accumulation of Ajnata Suprati. So she could not conceal her agitation because of joy. She shed tears of joy and understanding the firm bhakti of her husband. She was thinking, my goodness, this is my husband. This is the love. I am feeling so proud. Thus, ignoring maid servant, she personally came carrying a pot out of the confines of her room, which was never seen before. No one had ever seen Vindhyavali because she was unexposed even to the sun. So Bali Maharaj then jubilantly washed the lotus feet of the Lord and then took the water which purifies the universe on his head. Then at that time, the Devatas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, all of them, they started praising Bali Maharaj and showered flowers upon him. The Kimpurushas, Kinnaras, they started singing in jubilation, declaring, exalted Bali Maharaj has performed a difficult task since knowingly he gave the Lord the entire three worlds. You see here, they knew the plot, apparently. Everyone knew the plot, including Bali Maharaj. It's not that no one knew. That's why when he was, Bali Maharaj actually agreed and gave, they all become jubilant because they knew the happen. Even though he asked for three steps of land, so the Kimpurushas, Gandharvas, they were all glorifying Bali Maharaj and telling, exalted Bali, as knowingly he gave the Lord the entire three worlds, which means they knew that he was going to expand as Trivikrama, right? So then, as soon as this happened, the Lord expanded in astonishingly and started covering the whole material realm. This was not inappropriate because Bali Maharaj previously had told Vamanadeva, take whatever you want. Therefore, the Lord was free to increase his size to take whatever he wanted. Okay. And everyone observed that the Lord's size was increasing. It was covering the whole universe, all the mountains and everything, the birds and animals, everything occupied various parts of his body. So Bali Maharaj basically saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord, the Trivikrama. So when the demons saw the universal form of the Supreme Lord with Sudarshan Chakra in his hand, and when they saw his thundering bow of intolerable power, they became perturbed. And suddenly the Lord's conch shell, his club, his sword, his shield and the quivers, all of them, they started offering prayers. All the paraphernalia of the Lord, they started offering prayers to the Lord. And then all the Lord's associates headed by Sunanda, they started offering prayers to the Lord. So the Supreme Lord then covered the earth belonging to Bali with one footstep, and he covered the sky with his body and all the directions with his arms.
Padam dvitiyam kramatastrivishtapam navai tritiyaya tadiyamanvapi purukramasyangriruparyuparyato maharjanabhyam tapasaparamgatah. Padam dvitiyam, with his second step, Kramatas Trivishtapam, he covered the heavenly planets.
Navai Tritiyaya Tadiyam Anvapi. There was not even one small spot remaining for the Lord to keep his third step. Urukramasya Angrihi Upari Upari Ato Mahar Janabhyam Tapasa Paramgata. The Supreme Lord's feet extended beyond Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. So, like that. So, Acharya says, after covering the earth, the second step using his left foot covered the heavens, Bali's dwelling place. For the third step, there was no room left. Even though Vamana requested only three steps of land, his arms and upper body spread over the sky. This is not improper, since the word land also includes everything above the land. This was not improper. Everything above the land also belongs, right? Like if you purchase a land, you can construct a one-story building, two-story building, three-story building, four-story building. It's up to you. As long as you use only your allotted piece of land, right? So others explained that the second step itself included the sky, and thus the Lord covered everywhere with the second step. So the second step increased in size. From Maharloka, Janaloka, and then Tapoloka, it went to Brahmaloka. Some say that his toenails broke the shell of the universe. Others say that he broke the eight layers of the universal shell and the Viraja water entered. Then as soon as this happened, Vamana's foot was crossing through Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Suddenly, feet of the Lord is passing through Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, and Brahmaji is watching the lotus feet of the Lord. And Brahmaji took advantage of this opportunity. So, when the Lord's feet, was effulgent feet, was crossing through Brahmaloka, Brahmaji's own effulgence became dim by the light from the effulgence of the Vamana's moon-like toenails. So immediately taking advantage of the situation, he offered respects to the Lord, and the great sages headed by Marichi and by yogis like Sanandana, they also offered respects to the Lord, who were all in Satyaloka. The Vedas, Upavedas, Puranas, Samhitas, etc., they all offered respects to the Lord. Then not only that, Brahmaji offered foot water to the Lord's raised feet. He washed the Lord's feet also. Then Brahmaji, who appeared from the Lord's navel, then worshipped the Lord with devotion and praised him. And the water from Lord Brahma's pot, which was purified by washing the lotus feet of Vamandev, became the water of Ganga. So, and falling down from the sky, it purifies the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Lord. So, there are three standings of what is Ganga. Some people say when the Lord, and that is described here by the Acharyas, some say when the water from his pot purified by washing the Lord's feet became Ganga. But fifth canto says that Ganga arose when Trivikrama pierced the eight universal shells, Trivikrama's second feet, and the Viraja river, and that Viraja river came through that pole and that became Ganga. This is the second understanding. And elsewhere it is also mentioned Ganga is directly the liquid form of Narayana. So which is correct? Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur reconciles this. He says it should be understood that all three of these mix and become Ganga. All three of these mix and become Ganga. So when Trivikrama's lotus feet pierces through the eight layers, and Viraja water comes, and simultaneously the foot wash of Vamanadev by Brahmaji is from Brahmaji's pot, that also mixes with that, and simultaneously Brahmaji, Ganga is also the liquid form of Lord Narayan. Okay, and this Ganga falls in the sky and purifies the three worlds. Okay, so then Brahmaji and the Lords of the next and their followers, in great respect, arranged for the worship of their master, who had now taken the size of Vamana again. So they worshipped the Lord by offering Padyam, Argyam, all the Shodashopacharas. They offered prayers and they shouted, victory, victory. And all the conch shells, drums, they started playing. And very quickly, Jambavan came there, sounding the bugle in all directions and declared a great festival for Vamana's victory. Right? And when all this was happening, in a few minutes, right in front of the eyes of the demons, all of a sudden, their master, who was the Lord of the three worlds, had become a total beggar. And the demons Vamanadev had cheated their master, and in the plea of begging for three paces of land, he had cheated their master. So they became indignant and they spoke as follows: "Oh, this Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the greatest of cheaters, Vishnu. He has assumed the form of a Brahmana and covered his form and is working for the interests of the Devatas." Okay. So our enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a begging Brahmachari, has taken away all the possessions of our master, who, because of his position in performing sacrifice, has given up the power to punish. Because he was performing sacrifice, you know, he has given up the power to punish. So he says that our Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful towards the Brahmanas. He cannot tolerate speaking lies at any time. So he will not do anything. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadev. Okay. And in this way, even though Bali Maharaj did not want, they took up their weapons and started rushing towards Vamanadev. As soon as they rushed, the Vishnu Dutas and the associates of Lord Vishnu, they took up their weapons, and while smiling, they very easily defeated them. Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijaya, Prabala, Bala, Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Vishwaksena, Garuda, Jayanta, Shrutadev, Pushpadanta, Satvata, as powerful as 10,000 elephants, they killed the demoniac army. Now you may say, wait. Where did Jay and Vijay come? Jay and Vijay have come down, right? Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, then Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and then much later, Shishupal, Dantavakra. Now, how have they accompanied Vamanadev here? One may ask, right? So the explanation given by the Acharyas is that in order to show the frightful nature of offending the devotees of the Lord, expansions of Jaya and Vijaya fell from Vaikuntha. So this is the explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Jaya and Vijaya did not come down. Only expansions of Jaya and Vijaya came. Okay. The original forms remained in Vaikuntha, and in the present pastime, they assist the Lord in the fight. Their expansions playing the roles of demons stayed in the material world until Krishna liberated them. So it was only the expansions of Jaya and Vijaya. Right, it was not Jayan Vijay also. So when Bali Maharaj saw that his soldiers were being killed in this way, so he remembered the curse of Shukracharya, and he told them, he started preventing his angry soldiers from fighting. So he said, "Look, please hear my words. Do not fight. Stop immediately. Time is not in our favor." Okay, so when time is against us, it is not possible to overcome that which has the power to create happiness and distress of all living beings. Okay. So that supreme time is not in our favor. No one can surpass that time, influence of time. So these very same followers of Vishnu, the Devatas, were defeated by you when the time was right. But now the fate and time is not on our side. So we have to wait. Don't worry. Don't fight and lose your lives. Just save your lives and wait for the right time. Like that Bali Maharaj said. Because these demons are atheistic people. They will not understand additional instructions given by Bali Maharaj. So he spoke in a language that they could understand. So previously these very same devatas were defeated by you. Right? You are capable of defeating. But be intelligent. Don't be foolishly aggressive. when the time is not right, you have to strategically take a back step. Okay. Save your lives and wait for the right time. That's what he said. If providence is in our favor, we shall be able to gain victory over them. Therefore, we must wait for the time which will be favorable to us. So therefore, being ordered in this way, the demons agreed and they entered the lower regions of the universe while being beaten by the associates of Vishnu, which means they didn't retaliate. They didn't try to retaliate. They said, okay, fine. Thereafter, the sacrifice got over. And Garuda perfectly understood the desire of his master. And he bound Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Purana. What did Garuda understand? What were the Lord's intentions? So Garuda understood the Lord's intentions. What was the Lord's intention? He understood, having accepted all of Bali's possessions, my master now desires to accept Bali's very self. That's why Bali is the exemplar of Atmanivedanam. Garuda understood a very epic event is going to happen right now. My master wants to glorify Bali Maharaj. And my way of assisting my master is binding this Bali Maharaj now. He wants to own his own devotee. And what could be such a greater thing for a devotee than to be owned by the Lord? The devotee feels that he owns the Lord, and the Lord feels that he owns the devotee. This is called as Atishaya Mamatva. Atishaya Mamatva Ankitaha. This is a symptom of prema. This intense feeling of obsessiveness towards the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord, if he feels the same way towards the devotee, that is the perfection. Garuda sensed it right. And he understood his role. My role is to bind Bali Maharaj now. Unable to pay his debt, the Lord will become Bali's doorkeeper. So who is the debtor here? Not Bali Maharaj. Garuda feels, my Lord will become hopelessly indebted to Bali Maharaj, and in order to repay his debt, he will become the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. In order to broadcast to the world the Lord's dependence on his devotee and the excellence of his devotee, I will show everyone Bali's indestructible fortitude by punishing him. This is what was the Lord's intention. I will show to the whole world my Britya Vashyata, how I am controlled by the love of my devotee. And I want to show the excellence of my devotee Bali Maharaj. I am not the hero here. I have come to glorify my devotee. My devotee is the hero, undisputed hero. I want to show this. And very clearly Garuda understood. And thus he played his role. He bound up Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was thus arrested by Vishnu. There was a great roar of lamentation in all directions throughout the upper and lower planetary systems, because all of that belonged to Bali Maharaj. Vamanadev then spoke to Bali Maharaj, who was tied with the ropes of Varuna. He had lost all wealth but remained undisturbed in his intelligence, since he had become most famous. He remained completely undisturbed. So even though Bali lost all wealth, he remained undisturbed in intelligence, because though he lost all wealth, he gained all fame. And what is real fame? Real fame is to have a bona fide master. Who can be a greater bona fide master than the Supreme Lord himself? So he will become famous as the bona fide servant of the bona fide master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadev. Right. So then, Padani Trini Dattani Bhumir Mahyam Toyasura Dvabhyam Kranta Mahi Sarva Tritiyam Upakalpaya. Now he is rubbing so-called rubbing salt in the wound. He is already bound. O Asura, O king of the demons. Tvaya mahyam dattani padani trini bhumehe. I thought you promised to give me 3 paces of land. Dvabhyam kranta mahi sarva. By 2 of those paces, I have covered the whole universe. Triyam upakalpaya. Can you please tell me where I can keep the 3rd step? Because as far as the sun shines with its rays, and as far as the moon shines along with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all and throughout the universe is in your possession. You are the Lord of this universe. But I have covered all of that in just 2 steps. But you promised for 3. Can you please tell me where can I put the 3rd step? Padaikena maya akranto bhurloka kamdishastanoho swarlokaste dvitiyena pashyataste swamatmana. Maya pada ekena bhurloka akrantaha. With 1 step I have occupied bhurloka. Kamdishastanoho. With my body I have covered all the sky and all directions. Te pashyataha. And while you are watching, dvitiyena swam atmana te swarlokaha. With my 2nd step, I occupied Swarga, which is owned by you. So Bali Maharaj says, what can I do if I cannot fulfill my promise, my Lord? You tell me, what can I do if I cannot fulfill my promise? The Lord says, Pratishrutam adatuste niraye vasa kishyate vishatvam nirayam tasmad guruna cha anumoditaha. Pratishrutam adatuste. Pratishrutam means promise to give charity. Because adatuhu, because you have been unable to fulfill this promise of charity, niraye vasa ishyate. Niraye means hell. You are fit to live in hell for your information. Tasma, therefore, vishatvam nirayam, therefore you enter hell. Guruna cha anumoditaha. Along with your guru, take your guru along with you. Don't leave him alone. Right? So nirayetvam vas. Niraya, niraya speaks, he speaks twice, right? Nirayam, niraye. Huh? You should live in hellish planets. Okay. So this is where he says, you should live in hell. The Lord now speaks to show the world the steadiness and pure bhakti of Bali. Narayana parasarve nakutaschana vidyati swarga apavarga narakesho api tulyartha darshini. This is approved by your guru. You can ask your guru. Your guru knows all knowledge. He is. So, kavinam ushanakavi. Krishna says, of all the intelligent people, I am Ushana, Shukracharya. He knows everything. Am I speaking dharma or adharma? You ask your guru. You can ask your learned guru whether what I say now is reasonable or not. But in reality, this is according to Karma Shastra. But Bali Maharaj is not an ordinary materialistic person. Bali Maharaj is a devotee. What is the principle for devotee? In the episode of Ajamil. In the episode of Ajamil, it is mentioned, Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Deyam Chetaschana Smaratita Charanarvindam Krishna Yano Namati Yat Shiraye Kadapi Tananayadva Masato Akrita Vishnu Pratyam. In instructing his Yamadutas, Lord Yamaraj says, my dear Yamadutas, hear this instruction from me very clearly. Henceforth, bring to me only those people who have never ever served Vishnu, whose heads have never ever bowed to my lotus feet or bowed to Krishna's lotus feet, and whose tongues have never once glorified the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord. Only bring such people. Once, if they have once done any of these one things, you should not bring them to hell. This was the standing order of the Yamadutas. Now, how can, a person with even bhakti abhas should not go to hell. Because even once if he has chanted the holy name, he is not fit to go to hell. But here is Bali Maharaj, who is a devotee, and just for breaking his promise, how can he go to hell? But then the Lord says, twice he says, Niraye Vasa, Nirayam, Visha Nirayam, enter hell, stay in hell, Niraye, Niraye, he says. Now, according to Sanskrit grammar, R and L can be used interchangeably. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is many times called as Prahrad, because La is replaced with Ra. So similarly, when you replace Ra with La, it becomes Nilaye. Nilaye means the abode of Vaikuntha. So now what he says is, though now I am ordering you to enter my special place, Sutala, supplied by me, after your position there is finished, I will have you enter Vaikuntha, Nilaye, Nilaye Visha, Nilaye Vasa. I have given a special place, which is Sutala, for you. After that, Nilaye Visha, you will enter into Vaikuntha. This is the secondary meaning. This is the primary meaning, of course. Even though for the outsiders, it may seem like he is pushing him to hell. Even though you disregard your guru, because you know he is opposed to me, I understand that he has lost his determination out of great affection for you. He is also dear to me, therefore go with him to Sutala. So now, you may say, on the external meaning is, you go to hell, you take okay. The internal meaning is, you go to Sutala, which is a special place I am giving you, and you take your guru also with you. Well, what is his glory? Why should he come to a special place which is given by you? Well, come on. Yeah, you know, he is connected to you. You are very dear to me. Anyone who is connected to you is very dear to me. So therefore, because he is connected to you, I will allow him also to accompany you to Sutal Loka. So he says, the Lord says to Bali Maharaj, Vrita manoratastasya duraha swarga patatyadaha pratishvutasya adanena yortinam vipralambate. Swargaha duraha, far from being elevated to heaven. What to speak of heaven? Heaven to durki bat. Vrita manoratastasya, fulfilling one's desire. What to speak of going to heaven or fulfilling one's material desires? Yo atinam adanena vipralambate, one who does not properly give a bed. Pratishrutasya, what he has promised. Patati adaha, he falls down to a hellish condition of life. So he falls down to a hellish condition of life. Okay. So even though the meaning is very clear, but how can the Lord stick to his devotees? Therefore, you should look for alternative meanings. You should not look out. The acharyas have already presented the alternative meaning. He says, since you are my devotee, you should not be aspiring for the position of Indra or Swarga. It is useless. I am willing to give you Vaikuntha. Why do you want to take Swarga? Swargya duraha. Keep this Swarga far away and come to my Vaikuntha. That is why. Though now you will be situated in Sutala, you are more elevated than being in Swarga, since the place Sutala is not available even in Swarga. Okay. So, Vipralambate means not giving properly. Vipralambate, by failing in one's promise, that is the meaning of Vipralambate. But taking another meaning to Vipralambate, V means Vishesha, especially. Pra means Prakrishta Rupena, excellently. Lambate means attain. You especially and excellently attain Arthinam. Arthinam means the possessor of all four Purusharthas, which is the Supreme Lord. Adanena. Adanena means can means by not giving, or Adanena means to complete, by completely giving what you promised to me. So you have perfectly promised everything to me. You have perfectly fulfilled your promise by especially and by giving everything to me. So therefore you will especially and excellently attain me. Okay. This means that I will that you will attain me as your doorkeeper because of your complete surrender. You are the exemplar of Atmanivedanam, offering everything to the Supreme Lord. This is the secondary meaning, but this is the inner meaning. But the external meaning is, you want to become Indra? You want to become Indra? Go to Swarga and enjoy. Forget about it. You have not even able to fulfill your promise of giving in charity. What to speak of becoming Indra? You are fit to hell. This is the external meaning. Vipralabdo dadamiti tvayaham chadyamanina tad velika phalam bhukshva nirayam katichit samaha. Because you are falsely proud of your possessions and you have cheated me by saying, I will give you, take whatever you want. Tad, for this discrepancy, nirayam katichit samaha bhukshva, you should live for some time in hell. Velika phalam, which is the result of your speaking lie. Okay. But again, how can the Lord speak like this to his devotee? There is another meaning, inner meaning of this. Adyamanina means, one meaning is you think you are being very proud. But another meaning is you are more respected by people than even Indra. Why? Vipralabdha. Vipralabdha means because of cheating. But here means because you have attained me especially, therefore you will become more famous than Indra. Therefore I give you this result. Please spend some time in this special abode, Sutala. And after that, you can take the post of Indra. And after that, you can come to my abode, Vaikuntha. That is what he says. Now, Shukadeva Goswami continues this story. He says, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, you know what happened next? Although mistreated in this way, of course, even though these internal meanings are there, this internal conversation is between Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. Only these two understand. Maybe Prahlad Maharaj and Vindhyavali also are understanding. But everyone else is hearing the external conversation. Go to hell. You want Swarga? You want to become Indra? You are fit just to go to hell and suffer like this, like that. Although mistreated and made to break his promise by the Lord, Bali Maharaj with undisturbed mind spoke the following steady words. So, he spoke in double meaning. Because the Lord had spoken in double meaning, Bali Maharaj is also speaking in double meaning. Yadyuttama shloka bhavanna meritam vacho vyalikam suravarya manyate karomiratam tannabhavetralammanam padam tritiyam kurushishni menijam. Oh, uttama shloka. This is spoken in sarcasm. Of course, loving sarcasm. This is loving sarcasm between the Lord and his devotee, loving devotee. Oh, uttama shloka. You are most famous, right? You are Suravarya. You are worshipped by all the devatas. Yadi bhavan manyate mama iritam vachaha vyalikam. Yadi bhavan manyate. If you think mama iritam vachaha, that the promise that I made, Vyalikam, is false, Tadritam Karomi. Now I will make it true. Na pralambanam bhavet. I should not be made a cheater. So how are you going to fulfill your promise? Nijam tritiyam padam kuru mesh hirshni. Put your third step on my head. Now, how would that be a fulfillment of the promise, one may think? So he says, Bali addressed the Lord in a joking way, addressing him as Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means one who is glorified by everyone. How you are glorified? After begging as a dwarf for three steps of land, then you attempted to take the land by three steps as the gigantic form of Trivikrama. You came as a dwarf and you asked me for three steps. You could not had to defeat me by cheating. In this way, you reveal your lack of desire as a brahmachari. You spoke so much about satisfaction. And now you have shown your level of satisfaction, right? You have taken the whole universe and still you are asking, where can I put the third feet? And your Uttama Shloka, no doubt, like that. We devotees become mad with bliss on drinking this nectar of your fame. We become mad in bliss drinking this nectar of your fame. Though you are the husband of Lakshmi, you are the husband of Lakshmi, what wealth do you need? But you have come to beg. Is it glorious for the husband of Lakshmi to beg? Like that. And then he says that you act disgracefully by desiring more land by trick, cheating brahmanas in the guise of a brahmachari, showing desire for material objects, exhibiting lack of peace, showing anger and punishment to the person who gives. Has anyone ever given so much in charity to anyone in the history of this universe? I am giving, and this is the way you treat me. Of course, this is spoken in jest, joking, loving sarcasm. And this is an internal dialogue. The other people who do not have that devotion cannot understand this. And you destroyed the intelligence of my guru who had the knowledge of scriptures. You sided with Indra and others who were barely touched with a small drop of your mercy. And you sided against me who became submerged in a great sweet ocean of your mercy. Thus the poets glorify you as most friends. In this way he speaks meaning in joking, loving sarcasm. This is the inner meaning of addressing him as Uttama Shloka. Yadi manyate mama vachah velikam. If you consider my words false, what is the meaning of that? It means that actually it will be impossible for you who desire to conquer unjustly your devotee to make the words of your devotees false. He says that, my dear Lord, Kaunteya pratijanihi namaya bhakta pranashyati. That is your promise. And that too, you didn't want to make the promise because you may break your promise. You ask Arjuna to go and promise because you will never make the words of your the promise of your devotee to go false. So therefore, I have promised to give you. Will you allow my promise to be broken? No. And then he addresses the Lord as, oh, Devavarya, oh Lord, worshipped by the Devatas. This means that you have been requested by the Devatas to take the land from me and give it to them for their enjoyment. They have come to you and they have not asked for you. They have asked you to get material land from me and give it to them. Take it. I will make my promise true. My words should not be cheating. Your words, however, cheat the Devatas. They think that you are actually acting for their benefit. But you are cheating the Devatas. My words don't cheat because you will never allow my promise to be broken because I am your devotee. But your words of promise is the Devatas. Since you offered to them dharma, artha and kama and not the nectar of your lotus feet, when they praise you, they praise you, you give them only dharma, artha, kama. Therefore, put your third step on my head. Now, you may say, oh, how does that fulfill the promise? One may say, do not think that since you have covered the universe by two steps, there is no use in putting your foot on my head. This act will be greater than the wealth gained from your two steps, since you're taking possession of the owner of the wealth is greater than taking possession of the wealth. This is understood. Okay. So, you know, the owner of the wealth is the great person because he had the capacity to gain such great wealth. So, if you take his wealth away, because he is a capable person, he can earn that wealth again. So, along with taking that wealth, to take possession of that owner is the greatest thing. Because when you take possession of the owner, because he is capable of earning everything, whatever he earns will be yours. Therefore, your third step with your third step, you have actually gained something valuable. With your two steps, you have not gained something very valuable. Your third step is the real valuable step. Put it on my head. This is what Bali Maharaj is telling here. And then he says, look, I do not fear living in hellish life. I do not fear falling down from a position. I do not fear being bound by the ropes of Varuna like you have bound me. I do not even fear suffering unbearable calamities or anything. I only fear defamation by the devotees. Let me not be defamed by the devotees. The devotees should shower their mercy upon me. Like that. But the Lord may say, you don't want to be defamed by the devotees? I, the Supreme Lord, have bound you like an animal. What could be a greater cause of infamy? Have I not defamed you now? So he says, Pumsam shlagyatamam manye dandam arhattamarpitam yamna mata pita brata suhridascha adishantihi. He says, Mata, Pita, Brata, Suhridascha. A father, mother, brother, or friend, Yamna Adishantihi, he does not punish his subordinate in a thoroughly correct manner. They cannot properly punish their subordinates. Manye Dandam Arhattama Arpitam Humsam Shlagyatamam. But I regard this punishment that you have given me as the most praiseworthy thing, as the most exalted punishment, because your punishment can give the greatest results. Then the Lord says, hey, you are an asura and you are glorifying me for helping you, but am I not famous for helping the devatas and not the demons? So he says, Tvam nunam parokshah naha asuranam paramo guru. You are helping us in a paroksha way, in an indirect way. How? Yaha chakshuradishat vibramsham naha aneka madandana. Because by giving us the eyes to see, the blindness that has consumed us in the form of pride, by defeating us, you have given us the eyes to see our own blindness in the form of pride. But by giving them all the wealth, You have not removed their blindness. You have allowed them to stay blinded by their desire for wealth. But by taking this away, though he is telling asuras, this is specifically meant for Bali Maharaj's devotee. So then he says, what to speak of me? I am at least a devotee, of course, right? Which he is not speaking very explicitly. What to speak of me, your dedicated devotee? Even the demons who aided you got your extraordinary mercy. Tasmad vairanu bandena nirvairena bhayena va snehat kamena va yunjat katanchit nikshate putak gopyat kamat bayat kamso dveshat chaidyadayo nrupa sambandat vrishnaya snehat yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Narada Muni is telling that the Lord, even if one's heart is absorbed in the thoughts of Lord, even in the mood of hatred, you know, Krishna awards them liberation. So therefore, I don't feel shame, so therefore I do not feel extremely ashamed and I do not suffer. So then he says, my grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, although tortured in many ways by his father Hiranyakashipu, still remained surrendered to you. Right? So he says that this is what I am coming in the pedigree of Prahlad Maharaj. And because I am connected to Prahlad Maharaj, you should be affectionate to me. Please be affectionate. And why did Prahlad Maharaj ignore his father and surrender to surrendered to me? Because he understood that what is the use of this material body, which anyway will leave that owner at the end of life. And what is the use of all of one's family members who are all plunderers of wealth? What is the use of a wife who is the source of increasing material bondage? And what is the use of houses which simply wastes away life? So discerning in this way, my grandfather surrendered to your lotus feet, which dispel all fear. Even though you destroyed his whole family. And I wish to follow in the footsteps of my grandfather. So therefore, Bali Maharaj says, only by good fortune have I been brought under your lotus feet. Daivena neetaha. This only by good fortune. And the good fortune is my connection with Prahlad Maharaj. Yajita shrihi atmaripo api. Deprived of all my wealth by you who are the enemy of our family. So he says, Atma Ripoho means you are the enemy of my family. Ripu means family. But Atma also means the gross body and subtle body. So by addressing the Lord as Atma Ripu, externally other people understand that the Lord is the enemy of Bali Maharaj's family. But in reality, he wants to say, you are the enemy of my gross body and subtle body. You want to take my gross body and subtle body and away, and you want to give me residence at your lotus feet. With intelligence blinded by this wealth, a person does not realize the temporary nature of life where death is continually present. So, like that. At that moment, Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had done before. So he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head while his eyes were filled with tears and his face was lowered in shame. Why was Bali Maharaj feeling ashamed? So because Bali Maharaj was in a state, he was bound. So therefore, it would indicate that probably he has committed some offense in order to be bound up. That is one reason. Otherwise, or he was ashamed to see Prahlad because he had suddenly forgotten his constant teachings. The grandfather Prahlad Maharaj had taught Bali Maharaj, don't be proud of giving your charity. Don't be proud of being a charitable person. He had told. And for a moment I forgot. And therefore, out of shame, he had his head lowered. So when Prahlad Maharaj saw the Supreme Lord seated there, he approached the Lord, offered respects. And he had all symptoms of ecstatic symptoms. And then he spoke to Vamanadev. He said, my Lord, it is you who gave Bali the post of a heavenly king. And now it is you who have taken it all away. I think this is good. Since you have been merciful to him by taking away his wealth, which caused bewilderment to his mind. This is not true. But sometimes, when the son has performed some mischief, and if the neighbor is going to beat him up, the father and the mother, and they themselves come and severely chastise that son in front of the neighbor, so that the neighbor's heart melts. So similarly, here Prahlad Maharaj is not at all taking the side of, apparently not taking the side of Bali Maharaj, but actually Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev, Prahlad Maharaj, all are in one side only. There is no question of taking sides. So he said that you did not take away from Bali what was his. You simply received again what was actually yours. This is a proper act. But bewildered by wealth, even a learned, self-controlled man, while possessing wealth, cannot see the truth about the self. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord of the universe, Narayana, who is the witness of all people. Good, you actually took everything away, because even learned people, when they are completely bewildered by wealth, they cannot understand the nature of body and soul. At that point of time, Brahmaji wanted to speak something to the Lord. He was very eager. But suddenly, Vindhyavali started speaking, the wife. And Brahmaji remained silent out of respect for Vindhyavali because she is the more affected party. So she had the right to speak. Okay. So she lowered her head out of natural shyness of a woman. She said, "Oh my Lord, you have created the entire universe." This, she is also playing the role of, you know, she's a doting wife. She has only two masters. One is her husband, the pure devotee Bali Maharaj, and Vamanadev. Okay. So she is speaking in this way, perfectly understanding. So we should understand that Bali Maharaj, Vindhyavali, Vamanadev, Prahlad, in one side only. Even though they are apparently speaking, apparently Prahlad Maharaj is criticizing Bali, Lord is criticizing Bali, Vindhyavali is criticizing Bali, but no one is criticizing Bali Maharaj. Everyone is glorifying him. Right? So, you have created this universe for your past tense. Atmanah kridartam. Idam trijagat te kritam. Tu, but aparakutiyah. Foolish, unintelligent men like my husband, like that. Everyone knows whom she is talking about, have claimed proprietorship for their material enjoyment. Shameless, ascending to a high position and thinking they are the doers. What can they offer to you, the creator, maintainer, and the... Come on, you were so eager when Bali Maharaj was eager to offer the three lands, you came running with great joy with a golden pot of water to make that promise. Now you are criticizing him. This is all match fixing. Everything is fixed. Everyone knows the internal conversation. Not everyone. The great devotees like Vindhyavali, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev, they know the internal dialogues that is going on between them. So, after Prahlad and Vindhyavali pleased the Lord by spiritual statements, Brahma pleased the Lord by practical considerations. Brahma, while not on that level, on a lower level, because he is showing great affection for Bali Maharaj, he has also pleased Vamanadev. Brahmaji said, "What are you doing, my Lord? Please release this person who is bereft of everything. He does not deserve to be punished further. You cannot punish him like this. Bali Maharaj had offered all lands, all planets, whatever he has earned by his pious acts. This mind he has offered, his body to you. You are not satisfied. Why did you say, 'Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati'? What did Bali Maharaj lack? Did he lack bhakti? Or did he lack the vastu? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. He has given the whole universe. There is a limit. Why are you treating him like this? So, you take a person who has offered you water, grass, or even a flower, but you take them back to Vaikuntha. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, with genuine devotion, he has offered everything. What are you doing to him? So then Vamanadev speaks to Brahmaji. The Lord said, "Brahman, yam anugrinnami tadvisho vidunomyaham, yan madaha purushastabdo lokam mam cha avamanyate." He said, "Oh Brahma, intoxicated by wealth, purushaha stabdaha." A person becomes arrogant being intoxicated by wealth. "Lokam mam cha avamanyate." And intoxicated by that wealth and pride, they do not respect anyone within these three worlds, including myself. Therefore, to such a person, I show special favor by taking away all his possessions. Okay. So when a person becomes proud, I take away all his possessions. Then he says, and Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. He says, while rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again in different species, by good fortune, one becomes a human being. Okay. And if a human being is born in an aristocratic family, he performs wonderful activities. If he has personal beauty, if he has education or wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by me. Okay. So if a person Sometimes when he becomes proud, then I take everything away. But despite having good birth, youth, education, wealth, everything, if you see that someone is not proud, you should understand that he is especially favored by me. Okay. And I do not take away his wealth, since there is no harm in his possessing his wealth, because he is not becoming proud. Okay. Although high birth and other qualifications are impediments, because they are causes of arrogance and pride, they never disturb my devotee at all. My devotee does not get disturbed by all these things, actually. They can cause arrogance and pride in non-devotees, but not in my devotees. Therefore, I gave all the wealth to devotees like Dhruva Maharaj. So to beginner devotees, the Lord takes his wealth away, but he does not, which are causes of, cause of obstacles for the devotee. But he does not take away things he has given to the devotees. What he has gained by his karma, he may take, but that which the Lord himself has given, he does not take away. But of course, this is not a fixed rule, because the Lord took a lot of things away from the Pandavas. So this is not a fixed rule. Then Brahmaji catches hold of his head and he says, look, I don't know what you are talking about. You say, okay, you take things away, that is your mercy. And then sometimes you say that your devotee does get. Which category does Bali belong to? What type of mercy are you showing to Bali Maharaj? Is he a neophyte who has become proud of his wealth? So you are taking this wealth away from him to destroy his pride? What kind of, is he a non-devotee? What is he? What kind of mercy are you showing to Bali Maharaj now? So he says, Esha Danava Daityanam Agranihi Kirti Vardanaha Ajayishid Ajayam Mayam Sidan Apinamuyati. Famous Bali Maharaj, foremost among the demons, has already conquered unsurpassable Maya. Even though in dire circumstances he is not bewildered. You see, I have pushed him to the corner, taken everything away. You know, he is insulted in such a way, sambhavitasya chakirtir maranada tirishyate. Krishna tells Arjuna, for a person who has accomplished so much, infamy is worse than death. And here is Bali Maharaj, who has conquered the three worlds and everyone is watching, and in front of everyone he is bound like an animal. What could be more insulting? Compared to him, what did Arjuna accomplish? But Bali Maharaj's accomplishment was greater. And here he is bound like an animal. Brahmaji says, look, Brahma, do you sense even an iota of bewilderment in the face or body of Bali Maharaj? So, and he says, he has conquered Maya. So he says, I do not say he will conquer or he is conquering. He has already conquered Maya previously. What is the question of him having arrogance or disrespect caused by him? He cannot be arrogant or disrespectful. In order to destroy Maya, I take away wealth and power. But when I took this wealth and power from Bali Maharaj, it was not to destroy the pride caused by Maya, but to show the real greatness of Bali Maharaj. It is seen that when people who are bewildered by wealth become greatly disturbed, I wanted to show I have taken everything away. Is he disturbed? Kamat krodopi jayate. If he had even an iota of attachment to all this wealth and fame, when I took all of that away, he would have become angry and bewildered. No anger, no bewilderment. Therefore, and then he speaks many of these things, therefore, in essence, he says that I wanted to show the real glory of Bali Maharaj. So then he says, I have given him a place, which is Sutal Loka, about which we are talking right now, is not obtainable even by the Devatas. he will be under my shelter. He will become Indra after that during the Savarani Manvantara, and after that he will come back to me, to my abode. And one should not say that the devatas will give him trouble in Sutal Loka. He is under my shelter. I will be his doorkeeper, staying awake all the time to protect him. Until he achieves the position of the king of heaven, he should live on the planet Sutala, which is made by Vishwakarma. Specially made by Vishwakarma. Because it is especially protected by me, in that planet the inhabitants are free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, exhaustion, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go and peacefully. So it is mentioned that by the will of the Lord, at that moment Sutal became greater than even Swarga. So then he says, go to Sutal and stay there, and my disc will kill all the demons who transgress your rule. I shall always be there with you and give you protection in all respects. I will remain near you. Please don't think that your consciousness will get degraded in the association of demons, because in your association, all these demons will become devotees, and together you all can do Nama Sankirtan. Right? So then Bali Maharaj then accepted this order of the Supreme Lord, and with his eyes filled with tears, his hands folded with devotion, Bali Maharaj spoke. He says, Aho pranamaya kritasamudyamaha prapanna bhaktartha vidau samahitaha yallokapalai swadanugraho marair alabdha purvopasade surerpitaha. Aho pranamaya kritasamudyama. I was surrounded by these demons. Even though I had devotion inside, I could not express my devotion outside. I could not even offer my pranams to you, my dear Lord. I just had eagerness to express that pranam. Prapanna bhakta arthavidau samahitaha. I just expressed internally and show some respect to you, and you have given me a board which is attained by the perfect of the surrendered devotees. Asura apasade, I am just a low demon. Tvat anugraho arpitaha, but I have received your rare mercy. Yet alabdha purvaha, which has not been received previously by anyone, lokapalai ramare, even by the devatas. He says that how is it possible? So after speaking in this way, Bali Maharaj offered his obeisances first to the Supreme Lord and then to Lord Brahma and Shiva, and then he was released from the Varuna Pash, and then he entered Sutal planet. Okay. And then everything was handed back to Indra. The Swarga was handed back to Indra, and Aditi's desire was fulfilled. Prahlad Maharaj comes, and he spoke to the Supreme Lord, and he says, my dear Lord, what is happening here? We have attained mercy that Brahma, Lakshmi or Shiva, what to speak of others, have not attained. You whose lotus feet are worshipped by the most respected persons in the universe are the protector of us demons in all respects. You are the greatest. And then in this way, he speaks many beautiful, prayers. And then the Lord says, my dear Prahlad, you also go to Sutala and you will have my constant association there. Like that, he says. Then accompanied by Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the chief of the demons, all of them went. And then he has a beautiful conversation with Shukracharya. I will not speak this about this conversation. I will take just 2 more minutes of your time just to make a very important point here. Actually, In one sense, if you see Bali Maharaj's pastime, Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva's pastime, it is not that this pastime is there only in Srimad Bhagavatam. This pastime is there in many, many literatures. So just to help you understand the nature of books, the nature of literatures. In all the other literatures, the whole presentation of Bali Maharaj versus Vamanadev is presented as a battle between Dharma and Adharma. And in all the presentations, Vamanadev is the hero, Indra is the benefactor, and Bali Maharaj is the villain. And the Vamanadev's act of sending Bali Maharaj to Sutal Loka is seen as an act of Vamanadev abandoning the villain to the hellish planet. The presentation. Because those scriptures are meant for people who are on the platform of karma, who has to think in terms of dharma, adharma. But in Bhagavatam is the only literature where the devotional side is zoomed in and the internal conversations, we become privy to the internal conversations that are happening. Anyone who hears Bhagavatam's presentation of this episode they will have a split heart. Who is the real hero here? I am sure most people will side with Bali Maharaj and not Vamanadev. At the most, it would be an even contest between Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. No doubt. Indra is a non-entity here. He does not even get the credit of being a villain. He is a non-entity. This episode has nothing to do with Indra. This is a personal pastime between Vamanadev and his dear devotee Bali Maharaj. So therefore, in books which are meant for devotees, you know, like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is primarily a devotional literature, you know, the focus light of the pastime is shifted to the hearts. What is happening internally within the heart? Whereas in books like Mahabharata and other such literatures, which are like Dharma Shastras, which are primarily meant for people who are at the most willing to live a pious life and piety is their all in all, these similar episodes are projected as a fight between Dharma and Adharma. And this episode of Bali Maharaj with Vamanadev is presented as victory of Dharma over Adharma. But in reality, this is victory of a devotee and the story of how the Supreme Lord was conquered by the love of his devotee. And this is how Bali Maharaj received the Sutal planet from Vamanadev. So thank you very much for your patient listening. I'm sorry I just spoke. If there are any quick comments, if there is time, questions for a few minutes, maybe we can take.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. From a small purport, you bring us to 2 hours class. That's amazing. But it was so beautiful, Prabhu, because I attend some Bhagavatam. I attend another session where we are on Canto 10. But you always hear in Bhagavatam, Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Bali. But I never heard such elaborated pastime. It was so beautiful, Prabhu. So helpful for me, actually. I thoroughly enjoyed it for all the, during all the class. Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was amazing pastime. Thank you so much. I just loved it, Prabhu. Indulekha Mataji has a question, has hand raised. Oh, so many hand raised now. Indulekha Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for such a wonderful class. And just like how you explained philosophy, even the pastime was so beautiful. Prabhuji, my question was on, you said you had a verse in which Vamana Dev says that you will go to hell, right? So, but then he's taken to Sutala Loka. And this chapter is called Subterranean Heavenly Planet. So this is, Sutala Loka is a...
yeah, it is, you can say it's a neither planet. Neither planet, subterranean, heavenly, or you can call it, it is almost in the direction of hell. That way. Niraye. In the direction of hell. Like that. Not literally hell. In the direction of hell.
Thank you so much.
Sureshwar Shampro.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Beautiful, beautiful narration of the pastime, Prabhu. I had few questions I was writing down, but over a period of time, the questions got answered, Prabhu, over a period of the class. And it was like a live drama playing in front of us, Prabhu. And with the dual aspects, right? With externally something going on, internally something going on. And how you summarized at the end, Prabhu, this how Bhagavatam is a bhakti literature, right? That was also very, very helpful, how to see the different literatures, Prabhu. So, yeah, Prabhu, I had some questions, but I forgot, Prabhu, now. But very, very nice pastime. And one thing I heard was in 12th canto, as we hear more of Srimad Bhagavatam, it becomes fresher and fresh, right, Prabhu? So it was very, very...
తదేవ రమ్యం రుచిరం నవం నవం తదేవ శశ్వత్ మనసో మహోత్సవం తదేవ శోకార్ నవ శోషణం నృణాం యదుత్తమ శ్లోక యశోనుదీయతే బ్యూటిఫుల్ యు నో దట్ ఇస్ ట్రూ దట్ ఇస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ భాగవతం ఇట్ వాస్ నథింగ్ న్యూ ఇట్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఐ జస్ట్ రెడ్ వాస్ స్టిల్ ద సేమ్ 5000 ఇయర్ ఓల్డ్ భాగవతం బట్ జస్ట్ దట్
బికాజ్ వి నో సంథింగ్ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ ద పాస్ట్ టైం. Now, when you traverse to different chapters, to different verses, it was really like a drama, Prabhu. A two-hour drama playing in front of us. So very nice, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, you and Srila Prabhu.
Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, you also answered a few of my questions that I had. But a couple leftover ones is, one is, it's always puzzling to me that Shukracharya knew full well that Krishna is the, or Vamanadeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he knew everything that devotees know, yet he could still speak to Bali Maharaj the way he did against the Personality of Godhead. And I know you said that is because of some offense, which I'm curious about what that offense was. But even knowing that it was due to some offense, he was still speaking truth about the Supreme Personality of God. So I, you know, how he was able to know this, yet still, you know, advise against against Vamanadeva is puzzling to me. The other question I had was about the five ways in which wealth should be distributed. Is that for like Karmakandis? Because I'm thinking of the three ways that Rupa Goswami, I think. Is it Rupa Goswami advises? Yeah, so these two things.
The first question is, Shukracharya knew about Vamandev, then how still he could advice against him? Is that what is your question?
Yeah, he knows he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who owns everything already.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, he knows everything.
Well, I mean, this should not be surprising because we also many times know a lot of things, but sometimes out of greed, sometimes out of lust, sometimes out of the urge of so many urges, we get carried away. Right. So here was Shukracharya, who was very much attached to his own wealth, his own position. If Bali Maharaj is conquered, then Shukracharya has no standing. Of course, what to do? You know, Shukracharya has taken the position of siding with the demons and in desperation, and especially because it is mentioned that he was consumed by his own offensive mentality. Even though you know the truth, sometimes you cannot act on it because of your own attachments. And of course, the Lord very perfectly utilizes such personalities also in his pastime for enhancing the glories of his own devotees. If Shukracharya played such a critical role in bringing out the true glory of Bali Maharaj. I mean, the whole episode took, you know, Bali Maharaj's glories went up to such a level just because he took a stance against his own guru, despite knowing that he was going to get cursed by his own guru. And there were so many other episodes where when Indra disrespected Brihaspati, lost everything to the demons. And here is, and that disrespect was very subtle. But here were the demons who were very conscious about never disrespecting their guru, because they knew, because they always wanted to win. And this was a historical stance that Bali Maharaj was taking to openly disagree with his guru just for a small Brahmana boy who had asked for 3 paces of land. And Shukracharya played such a critical role in our appreciating Bali Maharaj, actually. Sometimes the villain actually helps you love the hero more, actually, because, you know, the hero is against all the odds, against all the evil schemes of the villain, and that makes you love the hero all the more. So, and Shukracharya was utilized by Vamanadev to glorify his dear devotee. And he rewarded, because Shukracharya played that role to glorify his own devotee, he rewarded Shukracharya by allowing him to accompany Bali Maharaj to Sutal Loka. So that is the glory.
I wonder then, is Shukracharya a Nitya Siddha, just playing role, or?
I don't think so. No. Mm.
We
devotees are willfully inspired to become, to act as instruments, but the Lord can utilize unwilling instruments also.
And so Shukracharya, let's say he was plagued by the same problems that we ordinary jivas have of this. Remember in your other class, you were talking about the competition between our values and our swabhav type thing.
Well,
right?
In one sense, Shukracharya in that sense did not have like pure devotional values. I mean, of course, you know, he always knew that the demons were against the devatas, and the Supreme Lord was always siding the devatas. It's not that he did not know. But every time they fought with the devatas, they were practically siding against the Lord only, in one sense.
I just find it interesting that I know you said that we are in the same category, but, you know, I just find it interesting that he knows so well about the glories of Vamanadev, even despite knowing will be against him. Because, you know, in our case, we know, but we are not making deliberate effort to go against Krishna. We just succumb to our bad side, you know. But in this case, you know, it's not that he's
here, in the case of Shukracharya also, but he does have a value system, he does have some knowledge, but his attachments, he's succumbing to his attachments here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
he does not have pure devotional value system, but he does have some intermediate value system, some knowledge that he is the Supreme Lord. You cannot defeat the Supreme Lord, but still his offensive mentality and his attachments have covered his eyes and
certain. Okay, but it's not that he has the same values as, I mean, no, obviously no. he's And I know quickly the other question was, you know, about the five versus the three.
Yeah, that is just for people who are on the platform of karma. That is not like a
right.
Yeah.
Karma Kandi type, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for answering all the questions too. Thank you so much for your services, Prabhu. And thank you for such elaborate presentation. How much time you put in there, I don't know, but it's amazing. I don't think there is any more questions or realization. So with your permission, we can end the class, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. I think your video is frozen now. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, so I think I had some internet connection.
Okay, you're back. Okay, Prabhu. I was asking if you, with your permission, we can end the class, Prabhu, right? There is no more questions.
Yes. I'm sorry. I took more time.
No. Don't be sorry, Prabhu. It was all nectar. We all enjoyed it so much. I personally just loved that class. I'm probably going to watch it again on YouTube for some points, but it was amazing, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. So, Prabhu, please give us your session again in the future. We all want you again. Please, we love you on the call, Prabhu, all the time with your lectures. So, dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji, please. Vancha kalapataru vaishyacha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama grantharaj srimad bhagavatam ki jai jagatguru shila prabhupada ji ki jai is great balaram shakti prabhu ki jai.
Thank you so much
Prabhu.
Yeah, I think all the devotees are muted. That's why they can't say anything. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. We'll end the call here. Thank you all for joining and see you again tomorrow.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Radhe Radhe. Thank you, Prabhu.
Radhe Radhe.
Radhe Radhe.